about a gal who really was a servant of the Lord. Why don't you take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We're going to be talking about Mary and Martha, and this is a story that's very familiar to many of you, I'm sure. And everybody here, especially every wife and mother, ought to be able to identify with this story. Let's read this story, or I'll read it for you, from Luke 10, 38 to 42. I have to admit, as you're turning in your Bibles, I'm a little bummed this morning. Michael mentioned the snow coming. And also, anybody else here bummed that Minnesota beat Iowa yesterday? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. There are a few Hawkeye fans in the room. Yeah, once a Hawkeye, always a Hawkeye. Okay. But anyway, that's football for you. Okay, well, enough with that. Let's read the Bible. Verse 38 of Luke 10, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is a story I think that's going to be played out in many of our homes this Thanksgiving. Go to the next slide, if you would, please. Everybody know this picture? You know this picture? This is a painting by Norman Rockwell called Freedom from Want. And it originated on really not the painting, but the idea of freedom from want originated December 8, 1941, which was the day after what? Pearl Harbor was attacked, right? And President Franklin Delano Roosevelt is addressing the nation and at this particular speech declared war on Japan. Well, in the speech, he said that all people everywhere have a right to expect four freedoms. First of all, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from fear, and freedom from want. And then the artist, Norman Rockwell, painted pictures, paintings based upon those four freedoms, and this is freedom from want. Now, I think probably right up there putting the turkey on the table, that's Martha in our story. The main characters in our story are Jesus, Martha, and Mary. Their brother Lazarus is not included in this story, but I think he was probably there, and probably the disciples were there as well. Martha's busy serving with all the preparations, and Jesus is teaching, and Mary is sitting at his feet listening to him teach. That's what's happening. Now, I realize that this sermon is going out to a serving church. And so, in that context, let's look at what's going on here. First of all, Martha. Martha has a big meal to put on. And she's not getting any help. Can any women here identify with that scenario? I was going to ask you to say amen, but that was spontaneous. Thank you. Yeah, I bet you can. There's the meat to cut up and to roast and the herbs to chop and the bread to knead and to bake and the table to set and no help. And Luke says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations. The word he uses for distracted literally means dragging all around. She was dragging all around, Luke says. In other words, she was frantic to get all the serving done, all the preparations made, all the stuff that had to be done for this big meal made her frantic. She was so frantic that she even goes to Jesus and accuses him of not caring about her. She says, "Lord, don't you care?" Imagine that. Here's God in the flesh sitting there, loving, gentle, compassionate Savior, and she has the nerve to say, "Lord, don't you care?" In our Sunday school class this morning, we heard about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the storm with Jesus in the boat, and they go to him and they say, "What? Lord, don't you care that we're drowning?" She says, "Lord, don't you care?" How often have we said that or thought that when things are not going particularly well in our lives? And then she tops that when she orders him to order Mary to help her. "Tell her to help me," she says. It wasn't very polite, was it? She didn't say, "Now, Lord, you know, I'm a little bit busy here and I'd appreciate a little help. Could you please ask my sister to help me?" No, it was, "Tell her to help me." I wonder how often we've told Jesus what we want him to do for us. And Jesus very lovingly replies, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things." If you have the New American Standard Bible, it says, "You're worried and bothered about many things." Now, I wonder how often Jesus says that to us. You think quite a lot? You're worried and upset about many things, but he calls us by name. I think he says it to me a lot. "David, David, you are worried and upset about many things." And then he says, "Only one thing is needed," and we'll get to that. Now, Mary, on the other hand, rather than helping her frantic and overworked sister chooses to ignore her and all the work that has to be done, and she chooses to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. And as Jesus tells Martha, Mary has chosen to do the one thing that was needed, what was better, he said. And he would not take that away from her and tell her to go help her sister. Now, he wasn't being mean to Martha. He was just simply commending Mary's choice to first sit at Jesus' feet. I believe this story illustrates three groups of people: those who sit and don't serve, and those who serve and don't sit, and by implication, those who both sit and serve. Now, I don't believe it was Mary's intention to go on ignoring her sister. But I think she illustrates the group of people whose priority it is to always be sitting and never get around to serving. Their priorities are spiritual disciplines of worshiping and praying and reading and studying the Bible and church attending and fellowshipping, but they never get around to serving. They never get around to serving Jesus in any meaningful way. And according to statistics, and I don't believe this applies here, but in most churches, it would represent about 80% of the people who never get around to serving, but who do a lot of sitting and are very, very good at it. Remember watching a travel program, I don't know who it was, maybe Rick Steves or Rudy Maxer or somebody like that on TV, and they took you to a monastery on the top of a mountain, and this was present day, and showed you the monks who lived there on the top of the mountain and who never left it and who spent all their days in meditation and contemplation and in these spiritual activities together, never left. You heard of the phrase, he's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? Kind of reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Always taking in, never giving out. The Apostle James uses the term faith without works is dead to refer to this type of person. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And notice what James has to say here. James 1, verse 22. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Go over to chapter 2 and just a few verses, starting with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You see, deeds follow faith, not the other way around. On the other hand, Martha, I think, illustrates those people who are always serving without sitting. They have too much going on to give time to their inner spiritual life. These people are doing their duty. They may have some good motives, but there's not much heart in what they do. These people are like the Pharisees trying to gain merit with God by their good works. In Hebrews 6:1, the writer says that when we come to Christ, we need to repent of our dead works. Our works can be dead before the Lord. Do you realize that works we think we're doing for God can be worthless to Him? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn over there, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. On this point, Paul says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day of judgment, the day of the Lord, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And so we've got to be very, very careful how we work, how we serve. Do you realize, according to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there are people who are serving that do not have really any kind of relationship with Him at all? Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Now, I'm sure that Jesus did not want Martha to serve all alone. Let's not make Jesus out to be the bad guy here. I believe that he wanted Mary at some point to get up and help her sister. And I'm equally sure that Jesus did not want Mary to only sit before him and not help her sister at all. I believe Jesus knew full well that preparations had to be made, serving had to be done, these things had to happen. After all, he was there with his disciples, and there was a meal to be prepared. But what Jesus wanted for Martha was to first sit down like her sister and listen to him. Then make the preparations together and serve the meal. You see, it was a matter of priority of first things first. He wanted Martha first to sit and then to serve. In other words, he wanted her to do both. So, what's this story teaching us? I believe in a real general sense, first of all, it teaches us that our first priority in life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our first priority in life has to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Everything starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. That has to be the first main priority of our life. The biggest life question for all of us is, do you have eternal life? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? This is the main thing. The main thing is to have eternal life in Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Him. Do you have that? And I'm sure that most of us here do. Most of us have long since established the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins upon the cross and rose from the grave and ascended to the Father and is now living in you through His Holy Spirit. You've got that nailed. And that's good. Now we go from there. But I also realize that maybe there are some of you sitting here that haven't yet nailed that down. And I would hope this morning that you would come to that place where you want to nail that down. And make sure that Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior and Lord. That you have this fundamental relationship with Him so that He now is your Savior and your source of eternal life and, in fact, your source of daily life. And at the end of this message, I would like to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior and Lord. If you don't already know Him, if you haven't already done that. Both Mary and Martha had a relationship with Jesus. They were His friends. Jesus often went to their home in Bethany to have fellowship with them, to relax, to rest, to receive encouragement, and so forth. They had a relationship with Him. They believed in Him as their Messiah. They followed Him. They both truly loved Him, and they wanted to serve Him. And that's the basis of our serving. We serve because we have a relationship with Jesus, not to get a relationship with Jesus, but because we already have one. And I think the second thing that this story teaches us is that we should let nothing distract us from sitting at Jesus' feet. And that includes serving Him. Notice what Luke says was distracting Martha. Did you catch it? Luke says that she is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. It's interesting, isn't it, that she was distracted from Jesus by serving Jesus. Did you get that? She was distracted from Jesus by serving Jesus. I have here a little article that I keep in my Bible in John 15, portion about the vine and the branches. I want to read it for you. It's very short. It's written by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray was a a South African pastor, author, evangelist. He wrote about 240 books. Maybe you've read some of his devotional books in your Christian journey. Wrote a lot about prayer and discipleship during his lifetime. And the article here is entitled "Too Busy for God, Think Again." Here's what Andrew Murray wrote. "What a simple thing it is to be a branch, whether the branch of a tree or the branch of a vine. The branch grows out of the vine or out of the tree, and there it lives and grows, and in due time bears fruit. It has no responsibility except just to receive from the root and stem sap and nourishment. And if, and if we only by the Holy Spirit knew our relationship to Jesus Christ, our work would be changed into the brightest and most heavenly thing upon earth. Instead of there ever being soul weariness or exhaustion, our work would be like a new experience, linking us to Jesus as nothing else can. For, alas, is it not often true that our work comes between us and Jesus? What folly! The very work that He has to do in me, and I for Him, I take up in such a way that it separates me from Christ. Many a laborer in the vineyard has complained that he has too much work and not time for close communion with Jesus, and that his usual work weakens his inclination for prayer, and that his too much ministry with men darkens the spiritual life. Sad thought, that the bearing of fruit should separate the branch from the vine. That must be because we have looked upon our work as something other than the branch bearing fruit. May God deliver us from every false thought about the Christian life. If serving Jesus keeps you from sitting at His feet, then your serving is out of place. It's premature. I think it's almost impossible to sit at Jesus' feet when you're worried and upset about many things. You agree with that? And do you know that you can be worried and upset about serving Jesus too? It's possible to be so consumed with serving Him that you neglect your spiritual life and your personal time of Bible study and prayer, learning, worshiping, spiritual growth, sitting at His feet. It's no good serving Jesus when your heart's far from Him and your spiritual life is dead. And I believe that's why Jesus told Martha that between serving and sitting, Mary had made the better choice to sit before she served. So when it comes to sitting or serving, do both, obviously. But give priority to sitting at Jesus' feet. So, if it's your habit to sit and not serve, start serving. And in this church, especially, there are abundant opportunities to serve the Lord within the context of this church. But even if it's outside of the context of this church, you can serve the Lord. There are many, many different ways. If it's your habit to serve and not sit, start sitting. First things first. Make time for both. I think we can do that. And as we do, I think we will find that we will be less distracted and less worried and upset about many things. First things first, sit at Jesus' feet, but don't neglect to serve Him. Allow your sitting at His feet to be that which motivates you, that which fills you, that which controls you, and then that which flows out of you in serving the Lord. Just like a branch in the vine, as Andrew Murray said, in due time bears fruit. And that's, I'm sure, what all of us want to do. We want to be fruit-bearing believers for Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me in prayer? As I said earlier, I want to lead anyone in a prayer to invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That's where we start. That's where we start before sitting at His feet, before serving Him. This is step number one. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you have eternal life in Christ, you're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, know this: Jesus Christ loves you and He paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. And all you have to do to have eternal life and your sins forgiven is believe that He did that and believe that He rose from the grave and place your full faith and trust in Him. If you'd like to do that, just quietly in your own mind, your own heart, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. I've failed You. And I'm sorry I come before you, and my desire is to turn away from my sins, and I do that, and I turn to you. I believe right now with all my heart that you died for me and paid the penalty for my sins for me. I believe you rose from the grave, Jesus. And I believe right now that you have come into my life. I thank you for saving me. From this moment on, I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus. And for the next moment or so, if you're here this morning and you've been serving without sitting, I would encourage you to bring that to the Lord and to ask His forgiveness and to get your priorities straight. And also, if you're here this morning and you've been sitting and not serving, always taking in, never giving out, confess that too. And let's all, as the Holy Spirit leads us, spend just a moment in prayer to address whatever issues there are. And if you've been sitting and serving, God bless you. Pray for us. And renew your commitment to continue to keep your priorities straight and let nothing distract you from this.